Welcome to the Inside Dreaming Podcast. I'm Dr. Rob Antonacci, and this is a sacred space dedicated to exploring dreams and their power to unlock creativity, wellness, and spiritual growth. Welcome back to the Inside Dreaming Podcast, everyone. As always, I'm really glad that you're here and that you could make time to explore and support your dreams. So here's a setup. Today, we're going to explore how to have more quality sleep and why that's important to dreaming. We'll take a look at REM sleep and how it helps with our overall health and dreaming life. And finally, we will look at recurring dreams and what they might be forecasting to us about our waking lives. So without further ado, let's get the party started. The start of today's episode comes out of the many comments that I get about struggling to dream as often as people might like. And the first place to start, of course, is to look at your sleep hygiene. Something that we've touched on in the past episodes, but I wanted to give you some more detail here today and bring in some of the most current science around sleep. Before we talk about the ways you can improve the quality and quantity of your sleep, I want to talk about stress. We are the most stressed out generation in history, and there are so many factors that contribute to this. The first is our work culture. Back in 2008, when we had that sort of crash and recession, and there were all these sort of huge layoffs that followed, people have been really freaked out about keeping their jobs. And at the same time, they had to work even harder to handle the workload of those that were let go. And sadly, we're entering into another unstable work environment with the economy currently being bad and COVID and unemployment and working remotely. Things are really challenging. Add to that the incredibly fast-paced life that we all lead today with many obligations and supported by our super fast tech, which makes it easy to be reached at all hours of the day and night. I think Americans are particularly challenged at sort of asking for or demanding healthy boundaries around work-life balance. So for example, did you know that in France, there's a law called the right to disconnect, which allows workers to ignore business demands after work hours and on weekends? Sounds great, right? So that pervasive work culture and the need to always be connected translates to our consumption of media, including social media. It's like we're a culture addicted to knowing everyone's thoughts at every moment of the day, right? The word FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. Well, the operative word in that is fear. We are afraid of missing out. It's stress. And there are even more contributing factors, which we could get into, but suffice to say that we are stressed. And this stress is getting in the way of a good night's sleep. And if we're not dreaming as much as we should, if we can't get the required amount of sleep every night, it is going to directly affect our health, our memory, our mood, and our physiology. So what can we do about it? The good news is that we can address many of the issues that are getting in the way of a good night's sleep and more dreams. So let's start with creating a restful environment. Let's talk about your bedroom. There are only two things that ought to be going on in that room, and the one we are talking about today is sleep. Sorry, I know that other topic is probably really interesting too. But anyway, first recommendation, get your desk out of the bedroom. Take your work laptop and even move your TV out of your bedroom. No more temptations or distractions. Remove all of the clutter and make it your sanctuary. Get some awesome linen and maybe a cozy pillow or two or 10. Get it? When you're in that room, your brain needs to know what's about to happen. And what's about to happen is a good night's sleep. Next, be consistent. I know this one is tough for all of us. Our schedules are kind of all over the place, but do your best to try to go to bed around the same time every night. It's sort of a biological thing. Our brains are really conditioned. They've got their own sort of clock, and it learns to expect and anticipate events. So the more regularly you can engage in going to bed and sleeping, the more easily your body will react and give you what you want, which is to go to sleep. It's also important to create the right conditions. And interestingly enough, that's cool and dark. So did you know that the optimal temperature of your room for sleeping is 65 degrees? Yeah, it's kind of cold, right? But colder is better, not only for falling asleep, but staying asleep, which is a big issue when it comes to interrupting our nightly dreaming cycle. Also, we need darkness, right? There's a lot of light pollution these days, and there's not a whole lot of times when we're in darkness. And here's a little example for you. Turn out all the lights in your house and then look around. I bet you it won't be completely dark. I bet there will be a lot of little incursions of light from those sort of LEDs that are on our, I don't know, clock radio or DVRs or all our other appliances, right? This is a little bit of that light pollution. We need the darkness because it triggers the sleep hormone, melatonin, right? So turn off the lights, even the little ones. If you've got natural light coming in through your windows, get some good window coverings. Or maybe if none of that works, you can find a really comfortable eye mask that you can use. Does sound bug you? I know it does me. If I'm in a room with a ticking clock, forget it. I will never go to sleep, and I'll probably be really frustrated on top of that. So get rid of any sounds that irritate you or prevent you from feeling calm. Next, I want to talk about the pregame routine. So you know how you're supposed to warm up before you go for a long run or do an intense workout? It's tough to go from one state to another one quickly. So make it gradual. Maybe you get in the habit of lowering the lights about an hour before you go to bed. Don't drink any caffeine in the evening. Also, FYI, excessive alcohol is disruptive to our sleep as well. Or maybe you disconnect from your tech. Not only is the content really activating to read stories or watch content, but also the light from the screens isn't helping either. So you remember your parents telling you to go get ready for bed? Well, they were right. That means creating a routine that signals to your brain and your body it's time to slow down. So maybe you wash your face or brush your teeth or change into your cozy sleepwear pajamas, right? I don't know, do people wear pajamas anymore? Whatever it is that you like to do to wind down from the day, okay? And avoid tossing and turning. If you're in bed and you're not sleeping, whether it's falling asleep or waking up in the middle of the night and not going back to sleep, don't struggle. The worst thing you can do is just lie there getting frustrated and tossing and turning. So get up, go into the other room, and maybe read a book or a magazine or do a simple task until you start to feel sleepy, and then go back into your bedroom. The aim is to preserve the calmness of the bedroom so that it becomes a routine, a sanctuary for you, and you set yourself up for successful sleep hygiene as much as possible. So, why the heck am I talking about sleep so much? Well, I'm sure you've all heard of REM sleep, right? That's the most critical time of the sleep cycle for dreaming. Ding, ding, ding. Here's what you need to know about sleep. The optimal amount is approximately 8 hours a night. Crazy, right? Who has 8 hours of sleep? I hear this all the time. I can't sleep that long, or I don't need that much sleep. Well, that may be true, but the science says otherwise, especially when we're talking dreams. So studies show that for the first 4 hours of sleep, we mostly have non-REM sleep. And it's the second half of the night, of the second half of those 8 hours, during which the really big chunks of our sleep are dedicated to REM and dreams. So let's say you only sleep 6 hours a night. Compared to the total hours of somebody who sleeps 8 hours, it's only a 25% reduction, right? But in terms of the loss of REM and dreaming sleep, it might be upwards of 50 to 80% loss. Wow, that's huge, right? FYI, there's a lot of exciting research that shows the connection between a consistent lack of sleep and being prone for dementia. Yikes. So there's yet another reason to consider improving your sleep. All this to say, the focus here is obviously on dreams, and I want to give you as much information as possible to create optimal conditions for having and recalling more dreams. Okay? So now to the meat, to the entree, let's talk about recurring dreams. It's actually quite common for many of us to experience recurring dreams. A recurring dream can show up in a variety of ways. For example, there are those with maybe a specific person involved. Why does my mother keep showing up in my dreams? They can have repeating images or symbols, right? I keep dreaming about the house that I grew up in, or every time I get scared in my dream, I see an eagle. A recurring dream might center around a feeling. For example, you might have recurring dreams that provoke anxiety or love, even if the characters or content shifts. Even abstract dreams count in this category. Let's say you have different kinds of dreams, but when you wake up, they feel similar to you. They evoke the same reactions in you. Well, that might be a recurring dream too. They all qualify. As an aside here, just want to note that time is not linear in our dreams. It's almost like it's an alternate space within which time doesn't really carry the same kind of weight as it does while we're awake. So you may recall the story that I shared in episode one of my friend who spontaneously shared her dream with me. What I didn't say then was that she made an instinctive connection with the dream she shared and one she had had as a child many years ago, jumping over decades of waking world time to connect her to this important message, right? So even though there were 20 years between the dreams, it was a recurring dream. Jung's work tells us that interpreting a single dream is like a hypothesis, and that fundamentally, we're doing our best to understand, quote unquote, an unknown text. However, like we've said previously, when we have more data, like additional dreams in a series, we can see how our dreams evolve, change, and course correct to better deliver the all-important messages that we need. As we learn from day to day or year to year, so our dreams track us, adjusting the way they communicate to where we are. That represents what we've already learned and how we've developed. This is what Jung would qualify as a spiritual journey called the individuation process. But I think I'll probably reserve maybe a whole other episode to that. So why do dreams recur? Well, here's the part most of us really don't want to hear. And let me explain with an analogy. You send your kid to school and they need to learn math to progress from grade 5 to grade 6, right? The goal of school is to learn and grow and complete tasks of mastery, right? If your kid can't master the skills that are required for a fifth grader, what happens? Well, the teacher might contact the parent. You might get the kid some extra help. The child might need to study harder or longer. They might need to repeat exercises over and over again until they get it or until it sinks in. And if they don't figure it out, they probably need to go to summer school. And as a last resort, if none of that works, they may actually get left behind and have to repeat the year. You see where I'm going with this? Just like fifth grade math, life is a school. And I believe that learning and growing along the way is a big part of why we're here. So, if your soul is sending you the same dream, it's because it needs you to understand or master or face something that has to this point eluded you. Get it? It's an opportunity for growth. How many times have you heard a friend say, "Oh God, I keep dating the same guy. Why do I keep attracting the same people?" And the underlying assumption here is that there's something wrong with them. To that, I would say, well, what if you could think about that differently? What if there wasn't anything wrong with you as much as your psyche was offering you the opportunity to build awareness of yourself and better understand why you make certain choices so that you can grow and overcome them? It's sort of like psyche saying, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure this choice aligns with your values? So this begs the all too uncomfortable question, what are you avoiding? Are you actively trying to figure out or lean into your recurring dream to listen to what it's saying, how it's making you feel, how it affects your self-view? Because if not, then it's going to keep recurring. It's going to keep coming. Remember in the last episode, I talked about a dream question from someone who said that they were being chased by a tiger? Well, my answer for that comes from wisdom of a personal experience that I'd like to share with you. When I was a child, I had a recurring dream about werewolves. I was terrified of werewolves. And this dream would happen over and over and over for years. And I'd go to sleep and I'd be in a dream and I would recognize the landscape and I knew exactly what was about to happen. I'd always be on a dark street and in the distance, I could see a street lamp casting light downward, breaking up the darkness. Then a shadowy figure would pass through the light and I would instantly feel terror and dread. At that point in the dream, I would always turn on my heels and run for home, all the while feeling him chasing me, bearing down on my position. I didn't dare turn around. It felt like I would turn to stone or die. I'd get to the front sidewalk that would lead to the front door of the house, and he would be getting closer and closer. I could hear him behind me. But something was wrong. Everything started to slow down. what was going on. I was running in slow motion while everything else was not. I could literally feel the tension in my sleeping body as I strained with every ounce of energy to run harder to get to the door. Don't do it, I tell myself. Don't turn around. But I always would, and there he was. I would go to scream, and I'd wake up completely freaked out, upset, and exhausted. And this happened for years. When I got a little older, as a young adult, the werewolf transformed into a wolf, probably because as a child, that image of a werewolf was more like a monster, you know, which probably feels more appropriate for something scary for a child, right? It would not be until many years later, under the guidance of becoming a shamanic practitioner, that I would learn to turn and face that lifelong nemesis. To my surprise, when I started doing the work, and as an aside, I have to say it was some of the hardest work of my life. When I did the work, the dream changed, it shifted, and that nightmare, that recurring nightmare, never returned. I had received the message that Wolf was desperate to share with me, and I was released from its spell as a monster, and instead it became my greatest power and sense of inner strength. So, I share this very intimate story with you to potentially inspire you to taking your first steps to unpack whatever recurring dream has been after you, to understand that there is something really important that only you can figure out if you're willing to do the work, the oftentimes very hard work. So are you ready? Well, if you want to be set free and grow, then you are. And if you are, then you can apply all of the techniques that you've learned from these previous episodes to unpack your recurring dream. So let's say that you dream that you're stuck in a building. Well, let's start with the structure and make associations, right? Make them personal, and then move to cultural and universal or archetypal if you can. What do I know? What do I associate with this building in my dream? After working through all of the images and symbols that are in your recurring dream, move to emotions and feelings. How does this dream make me feel? Why would my psyche be asking me to feel this? Remember, the goal of all of this work is balance. Next, after working through the associations and the feelings, ask yourself, what does this dream want me to know, understand, or face? If you can begin to reframe the oftentimes uncomfortable dream as an opportunity, instead of running away or forcing yourself to wake up, which is another common exit strategy, then you're in business and you're on your way to unlocking something really, really critical and important to your growth. After all, why else would this be happening this way? Do you think your soul enjoys torturing you? No. And finally, look around in your waking life. So the dream is giving you insights to the unconscious viewpoint, which is balanced by and connected to your conscious life. So after the associations to the images and symbols, after understanding and exploring the feeling sense of the dream, and imagining what message it might be asking you to hear, you then need to bring it into your waking life and see where it lands with regard to the current context, circumstances, or experiences of your life. That is the whole process required for integration and wholeness. This is where the spiritual and deeply personal rubber meets the road, so to speak. By working through the various aspects of a recurring dream, you are moving toward a more balanced life. So answer the call, face your fears, and grow past your limitations to a healthier and more balanced life. You can do it. I have faith in you. Thanks for joining me for this episode of Inside Dreaming. Remember, you can join our email list so you don't miss future episodes, give us your feedback on today's podcast, or ask a dreaming question you'd like to have answered on air by heading over to insidedreaming.com. Until next time, sweet dreams.